The high treason investigations into Afrikaner lobby groups have a nation in fierce debate. We speak to Democratic Alliance MP, Mr. Willie Okamp, who is also the national spokesperson for the party. Welcome, Mr. Okamp.
Good morning, Chris. Always nice to speak to BizNews and your listeners.
You're welcome. You have described the laying of charges as a frivolous stunt by former President Jacob Zuma's MK party. However, the police minister seems to be taking this very seriously.
Yeah, Chris, this is an absolute ridiculous charge that has been laid by them. The last time that I've checked, we are living in a constitutional democracy, a constitution that protects freedom of speech. And AfriForum and Solidarity and the DA and you and your mother-in-law and everybody has got the right to a freedom of speech, which is protected. So it's absolutely frivolous. Those charges were brought by a frivolous party who is just as frivolous as the complaints or charges that they've laid.
Mm. But if charges were brought, would that mean that South Africa is beginning to regard the US as a known external enemy and that we should all be careful consorting with it?
Well, this is the risk. We know that we are in a very volatile international space at the moment. And we've got to realize that whatever we do in this country will have repercussions. And to now come and lay charges of treason against an organization who I believe also fight for the rights and the goodwill of every South African out there, I think it's absolutely done in bad faith. I think they did it because they want relevance. And you should have relevance in what you do to build up this country, not in what you do to try and segregate us and put us in lagers. We've got to distinguish between the builders and the breakers, as the DA's leader, John Steenhuisen, has said on many occasions. And I'm firmly of the opinion that MK is part of the breakers of this country. They know that they will not succeed with these charges. And they know that the only reason primarily why they did it is to let the flames of racial divides in this country burn higher. It's not necessary to do that. We need to work together to find each other in this country. And that is what MK should have done instead of going to court or to the police with absolute ridiculous charges that will not hold water.
So do you think that AfriForum and Solidariteit and other Afrikaner groupings cannot be blamed for the punitive steps being taken by US President Donald Trump?
The main reason I believe that Donald Trump is doing what he's done is because previous ANC governments over the last 30 years made the wrong decisions when it comes to international policy every single time. We chose the side of Russia every time. We had war exercises with Russia and China on numerous occasions. We chose the side of Hamas and Iran. And when you say you're going to be neutral, as our government said with regards to the Ukraine war, which we know they weren't really neutral, then you've got to be a neutral country with all the conflicts that are out there. But on 7 October, Hamas attacked Israel. Thousands of people were killed. Thousands of people were taken hostage. And what did our government do? They did not stay neutral. They immediately defended Hamas. They tried from their side to get Iran to become a member of BRICS. Iran is a country that clearly states that the United States of America is their arch enemy. So if you do all those things over a number of years, do you think that that country will keep on supporting you? And I think that is the main reason. So we are, a lot of people are clouding what's happening currently and are trying to shift blame and put it in front of the desk of AfriForum and Solidarity and other groups, whilst the main reason why we are where we are is due to the wrong decisions of the ANC government in the past, not only international policy, but also local policies where they've definitely shown that they are a corrupt organization that really did not work to the best interest of this country. We need to change that. We need to turn that around. From the Democratic Alliance side, we have sent numerous delegations to Washington over the years. And the message that we brought out there was every time was, please do not think that South Africa is only the ANC. South Africa is far more than the ANC. And we said to the United States delegations that we saw over many years that there will come a day where the ANC will not govern alone anymore. And last year we saw that. We are now in a government of national unity. It is absolutely extremely difficult to handle things because everybody's got to learn how to trust each other, how to not have all the power you used to have, and in a certain sense to now have power that you've never had. And in that scenario, we've got to find each other. But things like international policy are one of those things that the ANC must realize that they do not govern alone anymore. And if they want this government of national unity to work, they must come into this GNU, boots and all, and allow their partners to also have their say, our say, in things like foreign policy. And that is the main reason. So for the ANC to try and deflect from this, I think is disingenuous. The main reason are the ineptness of ANC governments in the past.
Realistically speaking, what are the chances of this GNU being able to change foreign policy to the point that it would appease the US? You used the word allow. The ANC would allow its partners. Does that mean that the DA is at the mercy of the African National Congress to decide whether they will change foreign policy or not?
Maybe allow was the wrong word to use. It's definitely not allow. It's accept. They must accept the fact that we are there. If you look at clause 19 of the statement of intent, it clearly talks about sufficient consensus of all issues. And you cannot isolate foreign affairs and international relations and say sufficient consensus, but not on this. This we will keep apart. It's not how it's going to work. And the Democratic Alliance will definitely not accept that. So it's a matter of they must realize that they've got to work together. I think we saw that, Chris, in the budget. You remember that Bella, the Expropriation Act, and the NHI were all three acts that were passed in the previous parliament when the ANC still had a majority. What we saw on the 19th of February when Minister Enof Godongwana did not deliver his budget speech was the first time that this government of national unity, after the elections, had something on the table that they collectively had to agree upon. And the Democratic Alliance just said, we do not agree with a 2% VAT increase. And our leader, John Steenhuisen, made it very clear that we will not support that. To such an extent that the Speaker of Parliament had to postpone that meeting. I think that was a very good realization for the ANC, and reality struck them that day to realize that maybe the previous stuff that was voted through the previous parliament, they could have steamrolled over. And from the Democratic Alliance side, we tried our utmost best to get those acts in such a way that it is the best that we could have done. But now, from here on onwards, the ANC will require us, and we made it clear to them that they must come with policies that will be to the benefit of this country and its people. Otherwise, we will not support them.
So you do believe the DA has the power then to sway the African National Congress to walk back on historic foreign policy stances?
Well, we've got the ability to try to persuade them. I think if you look at what's going on, the ANC realizes that the world order is changing in a big sense, and President Trump, whether you like it or not, he's there. He always normally does what he says he will do. And if you are not going to adapt to that, you are going to be left behind. We need to adapt to that. We need to, from South African side, show that if we are neutral, we truly are neutral. Look at India. India is also a member of BRICS. But India manages to have a discussion with Russia without calling them our friend. India is welcome in the United States. India has got a good relationship, Mahendra Modi, with President Donald Trump. They can sit around the table. But we don't have to go and tell the world that Russia is our friend. We know that there's a lot of suspicion that Iran gave money to the ANC. And I believe that should that be the case, it will come out at some stage. But we need to be consistent in what we say and do out there. And if you get a lot of money from a country like the United States, we saw now that all aid has been stopped. It is a terrible thing. It will have a huge effect on people's lives. I spoke to farmers in the rhino industry over this weekend who said that even the funding that they got for protecting wildlife has also now been stopped. So it's over a wide spectrum that we are going to lose aid now, and we must try our best to get that back. But Chris, the main thing here from the United States side is that whoever is going to make decisions from the US about South Africa must have the correct information on the table. Because if we are going to lose AGOA, it will have lasting and devastating consequences for a lot of people in South Africa, especially our commercial farmers who export their products to the United States without having to pay the import taxes on that.
Well, this international standoff drama has reignited racism to a level that we have not seen in decades and we thought no longer existed. What can be done to defuse it, really?
Yeah, it's a pity, but unfortunately, racial lagers has in certain areas been drawn up again. And that is why I said in my statement yesterday, now is the time for cool-headed leadership, cool kop leierskap. That is what we need now. We need people that does not go to the extremes. We need calm, and we need to build on the hard work that we as a nation has done over the last 30 years to reconcile with each other, to find each other, to realize that we are all together in this country, and for us to make this country work, we must all work together. And I think that that is the message that should go out there. We should not continue or should not do anything that polarizes us as a nation of different cultures, different languages, different areas that we stay, but still members of one South African nation.
Now, there's been a lot of focus on the rights of minorities at the moment. What about the rights of the majority? That have been trampled on equally by the African National Congress over the last 30 years. I think some people are feeling here that white privilege now extends to suffering and that the suffering of the minority is more important right now than the suffering of the majority, really.
That is why we've got to turn this whole country around. If you look at the policies of BBBEE that the ANC has tried to force through over the last 30 years, it only enriched a few, not the masses. They did not create a big middle class South African black person that we all wanted to see and a richer South African black person. It did not succeed. It was a handful of people, figuratively speaking, that got rich. I think if you go and look at a township like in the Gamagara area where I come from, if you go to Kahum or Bankara Bodulong and you walk around there, which I do a lot, you'll see that there are absolutely no services. There are taps, but there's no water in those taps. There are no sewage. It's a disaster what's happening there. So what the ANC did in the previous governments did not work. And we've got to turn that around. And yes, we've got different cultures and we've got minorities. But you know, Chris, South Africa is made up out of a lot of minorities. It's not only the Afrikaner. We tend to, again, put it in lagers of the Afrikaner on one side and black people or brown people on the other side. You've got the Afrikaner culture. You've got a Zulu culture. You've got a Venda and a Xhosa culture. There's different cultures in the ethnicity of people, of the skin color that we've got. And if we then take that further and, for example, speak about mother tongue education, we had that debate yesterday in Parliament. Your language is as part of your culture as your forefathers are. And we need to expand on that. We need to make sure that every cultural group, every language in this country are protected and enhanced as our constitution claims. And unfortunately, the ANC did not do anything to enhance those individual cultures. It's one thing to say unity in diversity, but We only concentrate on the unity part and not on the diversity part, not on the fact that we can all work together, although we come from different backgrounds. But that can only happen if you admit that there are different backgrounds and different cultures and different languages. And it is very important to protect the rights of minorities and majorities, but the one should never be protected at the cost of the other one.
Thank you. That was Democratic Alliance MP, Mr. Willie Oakham, speaking to BizNews. And I am Christine. Thank you, Willie.
Thank you very much. It's always nice to speak to you. You must have a wonderful day.